Madness. Boy, does that take me back to Eastside Park in Paterson, New Jersey. I remember shining the wheels up on that Cadillac Seville I used to drive. When you got the wheels all nice and shiny, you go home and put on the freshest gear. Take your car to Eastside Park, and that's when the magic happens. Hey, good morning. Caught me drifting back to a happier day and time. This is Brands President Kenny Hodge from Columbus, Ohio. Just bringing the Postal Podcast to you in just a little different format this morning. That's that cool and the gang at Summer Morning. It's that nice little melody you hear playing in the background. But let's get to the reason why we're on the podcast today. Hey, listen, folks. As I say today, and I will say forever, I want to be a president that voices your commands or your concerns. I'm sorry. Your concern right now is about that dollar. It's about that paycheck. So even though I want to move to a different topic, I'm going to tap dance on a little bit of Article 8 for you today on some haves and haves not to make sure when they slice the pie, your portion is equal to every other portion that sliced out of that pie. Just remember, knowledge is power. So, just like I want you to know knowledge is power, education without application is just a waste of time, folks. So let's get to it. And before we talk about overtime, I just want to answer a question that an employee asked me, a mail handler asked me yesterday. He's a newly converted MHA, and his question was, should he not bid because he was placed on a tour 2 bid as a newly converted MHA, or newly converted regular, I'm sorry. He was given a tour 2 bid, which makes him an unassigned regular on tour 2. And he asked me about should he bid or should he not bid. And my answer to him was, remember, you work in the facility of indecisiveness. You work in a facility where making a consistent decision for all employees is not what our managers do. If you work in a facility, that I wouldn't be surprised if they exercise their right to move you every other month. So my response to him was, don't sit back on luck that you got put on a tour 2 bid. Find a bid that's close to what you want and bid on it. One more form I want to talk about before we tackle this overtime issue. And that's a 3189. A voluntary schedule change, a request to change the schedule. Now, I'm not going to break that form down block by block, but one of the most important aspects of that form that's overlooked by most employees. In bold letters on the top of that form, what do you see? You see request for temporary schedule change for personal convenience. You see, this is one of those things that management wants you to justify and give them a reason why you want to change your schedule. But our contract and the Employee Labor Relations Manual stipulate that is a form for personal convenience. So when I put that form in, I don't really care about what your staffing issues are, postal management. And I'm going to tell you how I feel. I have a situation that I need to change my schedule so that I can take care of my situation. That is the purpose of that form. So I want everybody to understand. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed approval. But I want to tell you, it's not guaranteed to be disapproved. When the Postal Service puts a form in play that's designed for your convenience, then you have to understand That is the position. That is where we negotiate that 3189 from. It's not about postal needs. It's about your personal convenience. All right. See me on that, because I know it's going to sound real different from what you probably been used to hearing. But hey, 180 degrees. New direction. Overtime. Let's talk about it. Very simply stated, if you require or desire to work as much overtime as possible, then you have to sign the overtime desire list. Now, let's fast forward as if you're already on the list. So when I break down overtime, or when I give an example or try to explain it, I'm talking to the people who are on the overtime desire list. If you're not on the overtime desire list, then you should expect not to work overtime. Now, we know that's not going to happen, but not being on the list gives you a voice in how late you stay and how often they make you stay. So if I'm on the overtime list, a couple of things we're going to get to right off the bat. First thing, if you put your name on the overtime list, be prepared to work the overtime, because if not, you're just blocking opportunities for an employee who wants to work the overtime. Now, I already know we got side deals on top of side deals on top of when I'm going to work, when I'm not going to work. Management needs to understand I'm not coming in here, but I'll come in over here. Nonsense, folks. If we're going to be a compliant, in compliance type office, then there's going to be some things that we have to change also. And if we are on the list, be prepared to work the overtime. Or take your name off the list and then get what you can get whenever you can get it. But you're not obligated. Now, I hear crazy talk about if I'm hurt, can I work overtime? Yes. I don't care if you got hurt at work, off work. It doesn't matter. If you are working and you are on the overtime list, if there's overtime available within your limitations, management should offer that opportunity to you. It's not hard, folks. It's really not. And I hear some of the employees describing management is using the rotation system now. Let me tell you something. This is why I said earlier, seek answers for yourself. Read your contract. Read your local memorandum of understanding. That's not new. That is the only manner in which overtime should be given out if you have an overtime desire list. It is a very, 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 very simple rotation. You start at the top and you just keep working your way down based on opportunities offered to the mail handlers in line. Now, let me tell you, if you read our local agreement, our local memorandum of understanding, I'm going to go on a limb and say 98% of all overtime, actually it should be 100%, but nothing's 100%. Of all overtime you work should be in your section. You should not be allowed to be called in to work overtime in another section unless everybody in that section has been maxed out and there is no overtime in your section. So as far as I work in TMS, but they need overtime in the flat unit, so I that's not how it's supposed to go, folks. And again, if all the personnel in flat have been maxed out and the need still arises, then we can entertain the possibilities of going into other units. When during the quarter the need for overtime arises, full-time regular employees with the necessary skills have enlisted their names will be selected in order of their seniority on a rotating basis. Those absent or on leave shall be passed over. In addition, Employees who guarantee exceed the overtime requirement shall be passed over. Employees on a non-scheduled day will not be called in to perform 2 hours of overtime work unless such guarantee is modified by the provisions of Article 8 concerning early releases. Full-time regular employees on the overtime desired list may be required to work up to 12 hours in a day. In addition, at the discretion of the employer, overtime desired list employees may volunteer to work beyond 12 hours a day. So that's what our contract or our CHEM interprets when it comes to that overtime list. Again, there is only one way to do it correctly. But we work in Columbus, Ohio, and we have a combination of ways of doing almost every aspect of our job. We have to get out of that. So if we're on a rotating basis, that list should be posted in your unit so you know the rotation. And I heard something I thought was very humorous. They have offices out there where they actually allow the union to select and pick the overtime. Well, yes, I laughed when I said that because that's funny to me. On one hand, unless it's working so perfectly and the union understands how to select overtime, but here we go, doing management job, let management do their own job. We regulate, we ensure compliance. We don't dictate. So if management wants a union rep or a union personnel to call overtime, that should be what your group leader does. And let me explain that. I say like Ricky Ricardo. Let me explain that. If the agency wants four people to stay over today, the agency can tell the group leader, hey, listen, group leader, I need four people off the list to stay today. The four people are 1, 2, 3, 4 in direct rotation, unless we have a non-sched day mixed in there, then we've got to adjust for that. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. The personnel have been selected. They have been identified by management. That information has been communicated to your group leader, and the group leader, who now acts as an intercessor between you and management, delivers that message from management to you. I promise you, it's really not that hard. It's a very simple rotation. Now, getting back to unions calling overtime for its members. Well, let me say this. If it's working and it's working, all the members are getting their fair share, it's still wrong, but maybe not worth touching. But if the union gets it wrong and they start playing a buddy-buddy act, because I like you, you can work more, and then they mess the rotation up. Do you realize, members, you give up any recourse to a grievance now because management never called you overtime, your union did. That's just a strange and peculiar practice that if it works for you, fine. But just understand that is a management function. That's a basic supervisor function. That's the function of the person who runs your unit, who has a handle on mail volume and projected workload. Now, I don't think unions should be projecting a workload, but I don't know what kind of rapport you have in your office. So when it comes to overtime, again, folks, this rotating thing that you're hearing about, this isn't new. This is the only way it's supposed to be done. But that's okay. If you don't know, you don't know. But as I say, now you know. And if you're on the list, you have every right to monitor and make sure you're not getting skipped over, you're not being bypassed, because what happens is, if you're bypassed by a person on the list, you're gonna get a makeup opportunity, which means 90 days, post office has to bring you in for makeup overtime. Makeup overtime is simply saying, I really have no work for you, but rather than pay you for nothing, I'm gonna bring you in. Don't confuse makeup overtime with, hey, Bob, I'm scheduling you 8 hours makeup overtime, and then you bring other people in the unit in also. No, that is not makeup. That is just you being scheduled within the rotation. They still have 90 days to provide you with makeup opportunity, or now you're paid cash. If you are violated and you are on the overtime desire list and the personnel whom or who you were violated with is not on the list, then that is a cash payment. That's a settlement that resolves with make the mail handler whole by paying them 8 hours or whatever it is, but that's not a makeup. Again, if they violate your opportunities with the person on the list, you get a makeup opportunity. If they violate your standing on the overtime list with a person not on the list, then that is cash payment. Pay me in full, and next time, get it right. Hey, I stretched this podcast out a little longer than normal today, but it's something that's really on the mind of the members, and I wanted to take the time and address it. Have a great day.